Piercing through the darkness with the radiant light of truth. This is the Alchemical Lantern. Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Wayne McCroy, broadcasting live tonight on Free World FM. It's our maiden voyage here on the live network. Good to have everybody here tonight. I am broadcasting live from my Alchemical Research Library in Pennsylvania's Back Mountain. Good evening. Tonight, we're going to look at an old book titled Pawns in the Game, written by William Guy Carr back in 1958. This is the third edition from 1958. Actually, I think he may have written this actually somewhat sooner than that, but it's chock full of information, interesting stuff for sure. So tonight, we're going to explore this book, and we're going to explore what he calls the international conspiracy. So, that being said, we'll get right into it. If what I reveal surprises and shocks the reader, please don't develop an inferiority complex, because I am frank to admit that although I have worked since 1911 trying to find out why the human race can't live in peace and enjoy the bounties and blessing God provides for our use and benefit in such abundance, it was 1950 before I penetrated the secret that the wars and revolutions which scourge our lives and the chaotic conditions that prevail are nothing more or less than the effects of the continuing Luciferian conspiracy. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. So this guy, William Guy Carr, had been observing things in our reality for a long time before he finally was able to put the dots together and arrive at a conclusion, and the conclusion he came to was this all has to do with an overarching Luciferian conspiracy behind the scenes. And let's face it, he's not wrong. Let's continue here reading. It started in that part of the universe we call heaven when Lucifer challenged the right of God to exercise supreme authority. The Holy Scriptures tell us how the Luciferian conspiracy was transferred to this world in the Garden of Eden. Until I realized that our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the spiritual forces of darkness who control all those in high places on this earth, according to Ephesians 6:12. The pieces of evidence gathered all over this world just didn't fit together and make sense. I am not ashamed to admit that the Bible provided the key which enabled me to obtain an answer to the question quoted above. Very few people seem able to appreciate that Lucifer is the brightest and most intelligent of the heavenly host, and because he is a pure spirit, he is indestructible. The scriptures tell us his power is such that he caused one-third of the most intelligent of the heavenly host to defect from God and join him because he claimed God's plan for the rule of the universe is weak and impractical because it is based on the premise that lesser beings can be taught to know, love, and wish to serve him voluntarily out of respect for his own infinite perfections. The Luciferian ideology states might is right. It claims beings of proven superior intelligence have the right to rule those less gifted because the masses don't know what is best for them. The Luciferian ideology is what we call totalitarianism today. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. So you see, the political aspects of things have always had to do with the spiritual aspects as well. So that being the case, this guy picked up on this at a very early time when very few researchers were really looking into this type of a thing back in the 1950s. And he kind of took the ball and ran with it. And he put together this book, and I think he put together a series of other books. Now, this guy, if I'm not mistaken, he was actually in the Naval Department for some time. He served in the military, if I'm not mistaken. So he had an upfront personal view of much of the warfare that was actually promulgated in this world during that time frame. So he had an inside track on many of these things, and he began to approach it with the premise that much of this is based upon spiritual associations now, once he went back and read the Bible and was able to put the pieces together. So let's continue reading and see what else he has to say, because this one's a classic. If you haven't seen this book or read this book, pick it up and take a look through. It gives a pretty thorough outline as of the 1950s time frame as to how this conspiracy came into fruition here in the modern world and the various aspects of it that prop up this Luciferian type of philosophy that underlies all of this. So it's called Pawns in the Game. This one's a classic for anybody who wanted to research greater conspiracy culture. This guy was a groundbreaker in these types of broadcasts. He wrote the book on the conspiracy here first. One of the early trailblazers. Let's read on. The Old Testament is simply the history of how Satan became prince of the world and caused our first parents to defect from God. It relates how the synagogue of Satan was established on this earth. It tells how it has worked since to prevent God's plan for the rule of the universe being established on this earth. Christ came to earth when the conspiracy reached the stage that, to use his own words, Satan controlled all those in high places. He exposed the synagogue of Satan in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. He denounced those who belonged to it as sons of the devil or Lucifer, whom he castigated as the father of lies in the scripture John 8:44, and the prince of deceit, 2 Corinthians 11:14. He was specific in his statement that those who comprised the synagogue of Satan were those who called themselves Jews, but were not and did lie. Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. He identified the money changers or bankers, the scribes, and the Pharisees as the Illuminati of his day. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. The Pharisees, the scribes, the money changers and the scribes were very much one and the same in certain regards. Same thing with the Pharisees. We have this today. We have a notion of this same thing today. It's very much the same thing going on today. We just have different names for these factions in control. And of course, the banking class has everything to do with this as well. But we'll see. So he describes the Pharisees as the Illuminati of Jesus' day. And make no mistake about it, the Illuminati is a very real thing. They go by many other names. But it is a real organization, and it's a compilation of all the various secret occult fraternities and secret society groups, the topmost levels of all of those, intertwined. You see, there's a core to all of it. It's an inner circle within an inner circle, and this would be what you would identify today as the modern-day Illuminati. And they do have an awful lot of sway and influence in this world. And this guy, William Guy Carr, he saw some of this in the 1950s after a lifetime of seeing things going on that didn't make sense to him in the physical world here. So he began to dig deeper, ask those spiritual questions. And this is the research he came up with. And much of what he points to here can be verified by anybody who goes and looks. We see a lot of this stuff. A lot of this same information from other researchers who've gone back and looked. And we see how it aligns with biblical scripture, and it aligns with, well, various other things. But these occult fraternities, they like to use the biblical scriptures as blueprints and models for different things. So is this a self-fulfilling prophecy in ways? Well, certainly you can make that argument, but does that make the prophecy any less accurate? I would say most certainly not. That does not give any type of disreputation to the words of the Bible. In fact, it gives it more credulity, in my view. Even though it would seem that they seem to work their plans in accordance with what's outlined there. So, is it devious what they do? Well, certainly it is devious. But it's also, like I said, kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, but that does not disregard the nature of the prophecy itself. It certainly proves to be accurate, even if self-fulfilled. So this kind of gives credence to the notion that these controllers of this world, these people in positions of power, these dark occultists at the top of the power structure who run things, they very much understand human behavior, and they like to model their plans after a lot of this stuff, to give an air of credibility to themselves. And certainly they've succeeded on some level. But let's go ahead and we'll continue reading here. So it says, what so many people seem to forget is the fact that Christ came on earth to release us from the bonds of Satan, with which we were being bound tighter and tighter as the years rolled by. Christ gave us the solution to our problem when he told us we must go forth and teach the truth. Regarding this conspiracy, and it says John 8:31, 59, to all the people of all nations. He promised if we did this, knowledge of the truth would set us free in Matthew 28:19. The Luciferian conspiracy has developed until it is in its semi-final stage, Matthew 24:15, 34. Simply because we have failed to put the mandate Christ gave us into effect. I'm going to pause for a moment here, folks. We are mandated to preach the gospel unto all the world. We are mandated to expose evil where we see it. If you're a Christian, that is one of your mandates, to expose evil where you see it. I cannot sit idly by myself and watch the world burn as it's been doing. Can't silently sit by. You see, I want a future here for my children. I simply can't sit by and watch the world burn and be unconcerned about future generations. We need to be aware of the spiritual battle that we are in the heart of right now. And we need to be aware that we have more power than these controllers of this world would like us to believe. We need to utilize that power. We need to act in accordance with that and step up and say no to their diabolical schemes. All we need to do is reject their offers, and at the end of the day, everything is an offer. Has to be, according to natural laws that run this place. They can't force you or coerce you into doing something you don't want to do if your willpower is strong enough. It's the free will principle. They can't violate that, so they use various workarounds to try to get your tacit consent to many things that they do. But at the end of the day, it is an offer, and we have every right to reject the offer according to natural law. And if enough of us stand up and reject their offers, their whole house of cards crumbles, and they cannot perform what they want to perform. That's why it's important that we resist these various agendas that they've been pushing on us. We reject these agendas. All you have to say is no thank you. It's a peaceful type of a rejection of these things. It's a peaceful type of protest in doing that. And if enough people do that, well, then they become powerless. And they understand this because there's far more of us than there are them. They realize this. Did you ever see the movie Ants? If one of those ants stand up, they all stand up. And if they all stand up, they outnumber us 100-1. Then we have a real problem on our hands. They were telling you the truth in that Pixar movie. They do this quite frequently with the entertainment culture. Because sadly, that's all we really have. It's a form of mind control programming. And of course, it all ties back to this Luciferian agenda that William Guy Carr was talking about here. But let's get back to the reading. He says, in 1784, an act of God placed the Bavarian government in possession of evidence which proved the existence of the continuing Luciferian conspiracy. Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit-trained professor of canon law, defected from Christianity and embraced the Luciferian ideology while teaching in Ingolstadt University. In 1770, the moneylenders who had recently organized the House of Rothschild retained him to revise and modernize the age-old protocols designed to give the synagogue of Satan ultimate world domination so they can impose the Luciferian ideology upon what remains of the human race after the final social cataclysm by use of satanic despotism. Weishaupt completed his task May 1st, 1776. Going to pause for a moment here, folks. 1776, that's what the year truly commemorates. The formation of this Bavarian Order of the Illuminati by Adam Weishaupt. And this was the kickoff of the modern-day incursion of this Illuminati Luciferian agenda. That's what's celebrated on the back of your dollar bill. That's what's important about 1776. Because if you really think about it logically, and from a common sense standpoint, the United States of America as a nation was not founded in 1776. That's simply when the Declaration of Independence was written, and when we began to rebel against British rule. Wasn't until later, with the writing of the Constitution, that an actual nation was formed. So our nation's birthday is not July 4th, 1776, like you've been taught over and over again. You see, these dark occultists who run things, they commemorate dates. They commemorate times according to the sky clock and according to the workings of the sky clock and the stars. And these numbers oftentimes represent something other than what we're told. But that's a whole deal and a subject for another day. But that is truly what the 1776 commemorated in the unfinished pyramid on the back of your dollar bill truly commemorates. May 1st, by the way, for anybody interested, is also a satanic high holiday known as Beltane. It's commemorated around the world also. It's called May Day. And it is the celebration of international communism. You see, the political always has a spiritual tie of some sort back to this stuff. And this was the date on which Weishaupt founded the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati. This group existed before then, don't get me wrong, under many different names and guises, but the spirit center of its location shifted that day to this group that Weishaupt formed. And they've had an immense impact on our modern society, whether you realize it or not. But we're going to get into that here. So this is the story of what happened. So his plan here, the plan required the destruction of all existing governments and religions. This objective was to be reached by dividing the masses, whom he termed goyim, meaning human cattle, into opposing camps in ever-increasing numbers on political, racial, social, economic, and other issues. The opposing sides were then to be armed and an incident provided, which would cause them to fight and weaken themselves as they destroyed national governments and religious institutions. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. Doesn't that sound very familiar? Doesn't that sound very familiar? And of course, it's said here that Weishaupt adopted what's called the Protocols of the Wise Elders of Zion. That's the older writings that Mr. Carr here was referencing earlier. And of course, the term goyim comes directly from that. It's a derogatory term for those that are non-Jews, according to some people who look at these things. Now, I think that's a total misnomer. I think that we were given that in order that we provide a scapegoat for these activities. They always like to give us a scapegoat or a false interpretation as to who's behind certain things. And of course, we see that being played out in front of our eyes today, don't we? The scapegoating and the intentional fear-mongering around certain things in this world happening. So they're trying to create more of this racial, political, social, economic, and religious type of a shift in society, where certain people are claiming, the media is claiming that certain people groups are being targeted for violence right now. And I don't think you have to stretch your imagination too far to understand what I'm talking about in relation to this escalating war campaign going on in Israel and Gaza right now. We have this division being fomented here, primarily by the media outlets, creating this notion that there's all this tension here in America as well, even right here on our home front, separated from that area of the world by quite a large distance, and culturally by quite a bit. But yet, they have us believing that we have these groups of people now rising up and committing these hate crimes against these Israeli people. And not only that, I'm sure they're going to be ramping up the anti-Muslim mentality once again. You see, these are the same old tricks they use all the time. And it's all about creating division on any lines that they can. Much like is outlined here. This was part of Weissop's plans. This is part of the protocols of the Elders of Zion, as handed to him. And of course, there's a lot of speculation as to the authenticity of those writings. But there's something there. There's definitely something there that seems to present itself from time to time. So I think there may be some true tenets in there in some way, shape, or form. But it's all a manipulation by this power structure and control. They want to keep the people divided on issues that really don't matter at the end of the day. Does it really matter what your nationality is? Think about that. We're all human beings, and we don't need to be divided along these lines. Hating other people just because of, perhaps, the area of the world that they came from. Their ethnicity. It's stupid. It really is. But this is the kind of thing that they constantly foment. And they make it appear through the use of media, which is nothing more than digital sorcery at this point. They present you with an illusion that doesn't represent the reality. And by representing this illusion to you in that way, it therefore then becomes reality when you perceive this to be a true thing. And then you act as if these are a true thing. And in essence, this does bring it into fruition in reality here. This is the leveraging of the power of the human mind in these ways by these social controllers. So these are the tactics they've used from time immemorial. And the old tricks are the best tricks, and this is exactly what they do. This is exactly what they've done. And of course, William Guy Carr was pointing this out here. This was all part, on the historical record, by the way, absolutely 100% confirmed in the mainstream historical record, that this is what Weishaupt had in mind, and this is what the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati had in mind. So let's continue on, and we'll get a little further down the road here. In 1776, Weishaupt organized the Illuminati to put the plot into execution. The word Illuminati is derived from Lucifer, and it means holders of the light, using the lie that his objective was to bring about a one-world government to enable man with proven mental ability to govern the world. He recruited about 2,000 followers. These included the most intelligent men in the field of arts and letters, education, the sciences, finance, and industry. He then established lodges of the Grand Orient to be their secret headquarters. Weissop's revised plan required his Illuminati to do the following things to help them accomplish their purpose. Going to pause for a moment here, folks. Pay close attention. And this actually came out. There are Jesuit documents that purport many of these same things. I've covered them on some of my shows in the past. But let's go ahead and we'll read these out because, like I said, the old tricks are the best tricks. And they use the same tactics all across time and culture here from these secret society groups. It's all the same thing. And this is what the Illuminati did. This is what Weissaupt laid the foundation for. Number one. Use monetary and sex bribery to obtain control of people already occupying positions in high places in the various levels of all governments and other fields of human endeavor. Once an influential person had fallen for the lies, deceits, and temptations of the Illuminati, they were to be held in bondage by application of political and other forms of blackmail and threats of financial ruin, public exposure, and physical harm and even death to themselves and their loved ones. Going to pause for a moment here, folks. This is pervasive throughout all of politics in the world today. Make no doubt about it. You do not get into a significant political office in the United States of America without being compromised in this way. You can't get there if you're not blackmailable. They won't let you. They give you some pre-selected choices to choose from. Already people in their big club. Already chosen, because they can be blackmailed to do what they're told by the real people who run the show. So keep that in mind. This is a tactic, like I said, it's older than time itself. They blackmail the leadership to get what they want. Let's read on. Number two. Illuminati on the faculties of colleges and universities were to recommend students possessing exceptional mental ability belonging to well-bred families with international leanings for special training in internationalism. This training was to be provided by granting scholarships to those selected. They were to be educated, or it says in parentheses, indoctrinated, into accepting the idea that only a one-world government can put an end to the recurring wars and tribulations. They were to be at first persuaded and then convinced that men of special ability and brains had the right to rule those less gifted, because the goyim, or the masses of people, don't know what is best for them physically, mentally, and spiritually. Today, three such special schools are located in Gordonston in Scotland, Salem in Germany, and Anavirta in Greece. Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth of England, was educated at Gordonston, and the instigation of Lord Lewis Mountbatten, his uncle, who became Britain's Admiral of the Fleet after World War II ended. Gonna pause for a moment there, folks. Of course, there are many other places in academia where these secret society groups have a hold. And they do this, they get the minds of the next generation caught up in their socialist and communist type ideals that they want to bring forward. And they all push this one world government notion, this one world notion across the board. The education system, the colleges and universities are heavily entrenched with these types of ideologies. They've been infiltrated for a long, long time, and this is their recruiting ground as well. They get them young. They recruit them into their programs. Sometimes they get special college scholarships and educational opportunities, like the Rhodes Scholars, like Bill Clinton. And oftentimes they wind up in positions of power in government and quasi-government organizations, have a lot of influence and sway in the world. You see, the old tricks are the best tricks, like I've said. And these are the tactics that were used by the Illuminati. And of course, all of the forerunners of this modern day version of the Illuminati all used very similar tactics. Let's read on. Number three. Influential people trapped into coming under the control of the Illuminati, and students who have been specially educated and trained, were to be used as agenteur and placed behind the scenes of all governments as experts and specialists, so they could advise the top executives to adopt policies which would in the long run serve the secret plans of the one-worlders and bring about the ultimate destruction of the governments and religions they were elected or appointed to serve. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. This is very much the same way it operates today and has been for a very long time. You see, the real people running government are not the elected officials. They're those appointees, those advisors, those policy experts and specialists who advise these elected officials on various forms of policy, whether they be foreign policy or domestic policy. These advisory committees, these are the secret government who run things. It's not an elected official. It's not an elected office. Oftentimes, they entrench themselves, and they're there for life. They influence various administrations and have a lot of sway around the world. And they steer things in this way. This was acknowledged by Weishaupt. These are their tactics, folks. Let's read on. Number four. The Illuminati were to obtain control of the press and all other agencies which distribute information to the public. News and information was to be slanted so that the Goyim would come to believe that a one-world government is the only solution to our many and varied problems. Because Britain and France were the two greatest powers at the end of the 18th century, Weishaupt ordered the Illuminati to foment the colonial wars to weaken the British Empire and organize the Great Revolution to weaken the French Empire. The latter, he scheduled, should start in 1789. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. The French Revolution, world-shaking event. This was fomented by the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati. This is an admitted historical fact now. You won't learn about it in school. You have to dig a little to find that out. But it's an undeniable historical fact. Let's read on. A German author named Zwack put Weishaupt's revised version of the age-old conspiracy into a book form and named it, quote, Enige Original Skripten, which I think is German, if I'm not mistaken. In 1784, a copy of this document was sent to the Illuminists Weishaupt had delegated to foment the French Revolution. The courier was struck dead by lightning as he rode through Ratisbon on his way from Frankfurt to Paris. The police found the subversive documents on his body and turned them over to the proper government authorities. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. Once again, another absolute historical fact. The courier who was carrying these documents from Weishaupt was struck dead by lightning by an act of God, and the police found these documents on him, which were very incriminating documents, handed them over to Bavarian authorities. And let's see if William Guy Carr goes into the details about what was done at this point. After a careful study of the plot, the Bavarian government ordered the police to raid Weishaupt's newly organized lodges of the Grand Orient and the homes of some of his most influential associates, including the castle of Baron Bossus in Sandersdorf. Additional evidence thus obtained convinced the authorities the documents were a genuine copy of a conspiracy by which the Synagogue of Satan, who controlled the Illuminati at the top, planned to use wars and revolutions to bring about the establishment of one kind or another of a one-world government, the powers of which they intended to usurp as soon as it was established. In 1785, the Bavarian government outlawed the Illuminati and closed the lodges of the Grand Orient. In 1786, they published the details of the conspiracy. The English title is, quote, The Original Writings of the Order and Sect of the Illuminati, end quote. Copies of the conspiracy were sent to the heads of church and state. The power of the Illuminati was so great that this warning was ignored, as were the warnings Christ had given the world. The Illuminati went underground. Weishaupt instructed his Illuminists to infiltrate into the lodges of Blue Masonry and form a secret society within secret societies. Going to pause for a moment here, folks. This right here is where the rubber meets the road. This is what has been done, and this is how they operate. You see, the various secret society groups that we have today, the inner circle within the inner circle of those is what you would call the classical Illuminati. Let's read on. Only Masons who prove themselves internationalists, and those whose conduct proved they had defected from God, are initiated into the Illuminati. Thus, the conspirators used the cloak of philanthropy to hide their revolutionary and subversive activities. Gonna pause for a moment here. I'm going to read that last sentence again. Let that sink in. In order to infiltrate into Masonic lodges in Britain, Illuminists invited John Robison over to Europe. Gonna pause for a moment. John Robison You may have heard of this guy. He wrote a book as a warning to the world about the Illuminati, long after they were thought to have been disbanded. But first, before we proceed from there, I'm going to point out the fact again that these conspirators used the cloak of philanthropy to hide their subversive activities. Same thing goes on today. So, Professor John Robison. He was a high-degree Mason in the Scottish Rite, a professor of natural philosophy at Edinburgh University, and he was the secretary of the Royal Society of Edinburgh. John Robison did not fall for the lie that the objective of the One-Worlders was to form a benevolent dictatorship. He kept his reactions to himself, however, and was entrusted with a copy of Weishaupt's revised conspiracy for study and safekeeping. Because the heads of church and state in France were advised to ignore the warnings given them, the revolution broke out in 1789. In order to alert other governments to their danger, in 1798, John Robison published a book entitled Proof of a Conspiracy to Destroy All Governments and Religions, but his warnings have been ignored, as well as the others. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. You can find this book for free in the digital archives. I think it's on Internet Archive. Look it up. Absolutely, this guy knew 100% what they were up to and attempted to expose it. John Robison, even though he was a highly degreed Freemason and ostensibly part of the greater order, the Brotherhood, encompasses, he didn't see eye to eye with the way Weishaupt wanted to do things. You see, he had a little bit of a conscience, it would seem. So he decided to try to expose these things. Excuse me. So we see here, his warnings went unheeded. His warnings, although they went unheeded, did find their way to some important people. Notably, Thomas Jefferson was one of the ones that he got a copy of his book to. Thomas Jefferson had become a student of Weishaupt's. He was one of his strongest defenders when he was outlawed by his government. Jefferson infiltrated the Illuminati into the newly organized lodges of the Scottish Rite in New England. Realizing this information will shock many Americans, I wish to record the following facts. Here we go. In 1789, John Robison warned Masonic leaders that the Illuminati had infiltrated into their lodges. On July 19, 1798, David Papin, president of Harvard University, issued the same warning to the graduating class and lectured them on the influence Illuminism was having on American politics and religion. John Quincy Adams had organized the New England Masonic Lodges. In 1800, he decided to oppose Jefferson for the presidency. He wrote three letters to Colonel William L. Stone exposing how Jefferson was using Masonic lodges for subversive purposes. The information contained in these letters is credited with winning Adams the election. The letters are in Rittenberg Square Library in Philadelphia. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. So we have these letters of warning in early American politics about the influence of the Illuminati and this philosophy of Illuminism and how it had penetrated into the secret society groups, into the halls of Freemasonry, and yet it went ignored because some of our early leaders, like Thomas Jefferson, were very much on board with them. Now, I don't think that's the case for all of the Founding Fathers. I think they had good intentions. And they learned from the example of the French Revolution, what happened there. They didn't want to repeat the same things here in America. So they took a little bit of a different tact. But anyway, we see how this has now become mainstream history. Although many people will deny any such existence of an organization such as the Illuminati, most certainly, it is recorded historically. Now, we're going to move a little further down the line here in the overarching realm of this Luciferian conspiracy. And we're going to go to a story here about a guy named William Morgan. In 1826, Captain William Morgan decided it was his duty to inform other Masons and the general public what the truth is regarding the Illuminati, their secret plans, and intended purpose. The Illuminati obtained the services of Richard Howard, an English Illuminist, to carry out their sentence that Morgan be executed as a traitor. Captain Morgan was warned of his danger. He tried to escape to Canada, but Howard caught him up near the border. He was murdered near Niagara Gorge. Research proved that one Avery Allen made a sworn affidavit in the city of New York to the effect that he heard Richard Howard report to a meeting of the Knights Templars in St. John's Hall, New York, how he had executed Morgan. He told how arrangements had been made to ship Howard back to England. Very few people today know the general disapproval and disgust over this incident caused nearly 40% of Masons belonging to the northern jurisdiction of the United States to secede. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. That right there is a very historic, important fact that people don't even realize. You see, there actually arose an anti-Masonic party in the political realm of things at one point over this stuff. People were recognizing some of what was going on with these secret society groups, but they didn't really know the full extent of it, like how deep it goes and where the top of this goes to. So at any rate, we had that happen. So, William Guy Carr goes on here to say that he has copies of minutes of a meeting held to discuss this particular matter. The power of those who direct the Luciferian conspiracy against God and man can be realized by the ability of their agentur to prevent such outstanding events of history being taught in our public schools. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. I don't disagree with him. This is not taught in our public schools. You will not learn this in a public school. You have to research yourself to find this type of information. You're not going to be taught it in a textbook. Simply does not happen. They don't want you to know the secret history of things. Excuse me. They don't want you to realize what's been done here. Let's continue. In 1829, the Illuminati held a meeting in New York, which was addressed by a British Illuminist named Wright. Those in attendance were informed that the Illuminati intended to unite the nihilist and atheist groups with all other subversive organizations into an international organization to be known as communism. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. Have you ever heard about this before? Probably not. This destructive force was to be used to enable the Illuminati to foment future wars and revolutions. Clinton Roosevelt, a direct ancestor of FDR, Horace Greeley, and Chaz Dana. Chaz, I think that's an abbreviation for Charles. Let's be honest here. I think that's supposed to be Charles. And Charles Dana were appointed a committee to raise funds for this new venture. The fund they raised financed Karl Marx and Engels when they wrote Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto in Soho, England. In 1830, Weishaupt died. He carried the deception that the Illuminati was dead to his own deathbed, where, to convince his spiritual advisors, he pretended to repent and rejoin the church. According to Weishaupt's revised version of the age-old conspiracy, the Illuminati were to organize, finance, direct, and control all international organizations and groups by working their agentur into executive positions at the top. Thus it was that while Karl Marx was writing the Communist Manifesto under direction of one group of Illuminists, Professor Karl Ritter of Frankfurt University was writing the antithesis under direction of another group, so that those who direct the conspiracy at the top could use the differences in these two ideologies to start dividing larger and larger numbers of the human race into opposing camps so they could be armed and then made to fight and destroy each other. Together with their political and religious institutions. The work Ritter started was continued by the Germans' so-called philosopher, Friedrich Wilhelm Nietzsche. Apologies, folks, I am choking right now. This nagging cough won't go away. Excuse me. So Nietzscheism was developed into fascism and later into Nazism. And it was used to enable the agentur of the Illuminati to foment World Wars I and II. Apologies again, had to mute out there for a second. In 1834, the Italian revolutionary leader Giuseppe Mazzini was selected by the Illuminati to be director of their revolutionary program throughout the world. He held this post until he died in 1872. In 1840, General Albert Pike was brought under the influence of Mazzini because he became a disgruntled officer when President Jefferson Davis disbanded his auxiliary Indian troops on the grounds they had committed atrocities under the cloak of legitimate warfare. Pike accepted the idea of a one-world government and ultimately became head of the Luciferian priesthood. Between 1859 and 1871, he worked out the details of a military blueprint for three world wars and three major revolutions, which he considered would further the conspiracy to its final stage during the 20th century. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. There's some things you won't hear from Masons about Albert Pike. This is probably one of them. He most certainly was in cahoots with Mazzini. That's a historical fact. They communicated quite a bit. Let's read on. It says here, most of his work was done in the 13-room mansion he built in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1840. When the Illuminati in the lodges of the Grand Orient became suspect because of Mazzini's revolutionary activities in Europe, Pike organized the new and reformed Palladian Rite. He established three supreme councils, one in Charleston, South Carolina, another in Rome, Italy, and another in Berlin, Germany. He had Mazzini establish 23 subordinate councils in strategic locations throughout the world. These have been the secret headquarters of the world revolutionary movement ever since. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. So, some people will dispute whether the Palladian Rite actually exists or not. It most certainly does. This was founded here by Pike. For those who don't know, Pike was also the founder of a little organization known as the Ku Klux Klan. Bet you didn't know that either, and most Masons won't tell you that. So now you know something else, but let's continue on and we'll wrap up here very soon. Long before Marconi invented wireless radio, the scientists who were of the Illuminati had made it possible for Pike and the heads of his councils to communicate secretly. I'm going to pause for a moment here, folks, to say that none of this portion of what Guy Carr here, William Guy Carr, is talking about has ever been adequately proven. I have seen stories about this. I would say it's definitely possible, but we've never seen actual proof or evidence for real thereof. But this is what the claim is, and other people have made this claim too. Let's read on about it. It was the discovery of this secret that enabled intelligence officers to understand how apparently unrelated incidents took place simultaneously throughout the world, which aggravated a situation and developed into a war or revolution. Pike's plan was as simple as it had proved effective. He required that communism, Nazism, political Zionism, and other international movements be organized and used to foment the three global wars and three major revolutions. The First World War was to be fought so as to enable the Illuminati to overthrow the powers of the czars in Russia and turn that country into the stronghold of atheistic communism. The differences stirred up by Agent Tour of the Illuminati between the British and German empires were to be used to foment this war. After the war ended, communism was to be built up and used to destroy other governments and weaken religions. Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. So this very much aligns with what happened during World War I. And of course, Pike was alleged to have written this stuff before then in letters to Mazzini, as well as in other places. And we see this as to the secret communication system that they had. Seems like William Guy Carr didn't go into details here, but it was something akin to some type of a secret telephone type system that allegedly existed before the invention of the telephone. They were able to speak with one another, and some have claimed that there was a supernatural element to this, some demonic type notion to it. So he didn't go into details on that, but I have heard that from other researchers. Like I said, can't verify the truth of that. So we gotta chalk that one up into the realm of speculation. But at any rate, we do see the world wars. Let's read on here. World War II was to be fomented by using the differences between fascists and political Zionists. This war was to be fought so that Nazism would be destroyed and the power of political Zionism increased so the sovereign state of Israel could be established in Palestine. During World War II, international communism was to be built up until it equaled in strength that of united Christendom. At this point, it was to be contained and kept in check until required for the final social cataclysm. Can any informed person deny Roosevelt and Churchill did not put this policy into effect? Gonna pause for a moment here, folks. So look at what has happened post-World War II here. Look at the setting up of Israel as a nation state. The division of Palestine. All talked about by Pike and Mazzini back in the 1800s. Coincidence? I don't have enough faith to be a coincidence theorist. But let's finish up here and see what Pike said about World War III. World War III is to be fomented by using the differences the agentur of the Illuminati stir up between political Zionists and the leaders of the Muslim world. The war is to be directed in such a manner that Islam, the Arab world, including Mohammedanism, and political Zionism, including the State of Israel, will destroy themselves while at the same time the remaining nations, once more divided against each other on this issue, will be forced to fight themselves into a state of complete exhaustion, physically, mentally, spiritually, and economically. Can any unbiased and reasoning person deny that the intrigue now going on in the near, middle, and far east isn't designed to accomplish this devilish purpose? And I'm going to pause for a moment there. I don't think you have to even look that far. Just look at what's going on in Israel right now. It's playing out in front of your eyes, folks. Is this really coincidence? I'll ask you that. On August 15, 1871, Pike told Mazzini that after World War III is ended, those who aspire to undisputed world domination will provoke the greatest social cataclysm the world has ever known. We quote his own words. Here it is, taken from the letter that's cataloged in the British Museum Library, London, England. You ready for this? This is from Albert Pike. Letter to Mazzini, written August 15, 1871. It's in the British Museum Library. Quote, "We shall unleash the nihilists and atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will be from that moment without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view, a manifestation which will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time," end quote. What do you think about that, folks? What are we watching unfolding before our eyes? What have we seen predicted in the Bible? What do we see happening in the world around us? Are we really looking at the advent of World War III right now? What's going to be the result? Do you think this is all coincidence? I'll ask you again. Is it really coincidence that this guy wrote this stuff in letters in 1871? And here we are, staring at it in our face right now. And how the world is becoming more and more disillusioned day after day by religion and by atheism and by all the other isms out there. Are we not seeing the economic destruction of our sovereign nations? Are we not seeing epic division along these lines of the differences between Zionists and the Muslim community? This adequately describes everything going on with the state of Israel and its conflict there in Gaza, in Palestine. You see, this was all planned and designed in this way. This was all fomented and set up. And don't we see the media manipulating things on both sides, trying to foment more violence? Think about it. Is it coincidence? Or is there a greater agenda? And of course it's an agenda to bring about this Luciferian doctrine upon the world. You just heard from Albert Pike, highly regarded in the halls of Freemasonry. Those were his statements and his words. Anyway, folks, I want to thank you all for tuning in. We are out of time for tonight. We'll catch you next week here on the Alchemical Lantern. Have a good one, and keep talking in the free world.